This is MSO Newsports.com. I'm Rick Moore along with Josh Arnold, and we have a new program continuing on Fridays here at 10 a.m. called Trending Now with Josh Arnold. And Josh, what you got lined up this morning?
We have, we're out of the election series, and we are have back into our featured news stories. Dave Gardner is going to be talking to us about the Rotary and about the Boy Scouts. We have Dick Moody, who's from Operation Support the Troops out of Danvers, Massachusetts. We have local businesswoman Kathy Boudreau speaking to us on a bunch of items. And we have fourth guest is Jason Groh, a local photographer who has an exhibit at opening at City Hall about our veterans on November 7th.
All right, sounds good. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite, eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Welcome back to our show, Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and our guest is Dave Gardner, who is a just finishing up a series of business ventures with elections north of Boston as through his Boyd's Direct Printing, and he's a district governor nominee for Rotary District 7930 and is involved in the Boy Scouts. David, welcome to the program.
Hey, Josh, how are you? Good to see you this morning.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and the listening audience, and I know that you do a lot of work with Rotary and the Boy Scouts. Maybe you could share some of that work and what you do there.
Yeah, I started out in the Boy Scouts when my son was probably 13 or 14 when he started transitioning from Cub Scouts to Boy Scouts. He went on a bunch of trips, camping, and started to learn a little bit about how to survive in the wilderness, which is great, but it was just a wonderful time to spend with my son and his friends and adult leaders who give so much of their time and talent. We have a great troop in Stoneham, and they have been, very supportive of all the Scouts. We have a very high level or number of Eagle Scouts that transition from year to year, and it's been a great thing. And even today, my son is still very, very involved with the troop at 25. So he stayed involved, and we're both pretty still involved with the Order of the Arrow, which is the Honor Society of Boy Scouts. And that just brings it up to a whole new level. And we spent this summer, a week in Michigan State University for the National Order of the Arrow Conference. We had about 16,000 Boy Scouts, both youth and adults, at the event. It was absolutely an amazing experience. So that's been my Boy Scouting experience, and I, with my son, and I progressed through a number of volunteer roles there, which culminated probably in my final position as the Vice President of Outdoor Program and Properties, and that was to manage four Boy Scout and Cub Scout camps in Massachusetts and New Hampshire, totaling about 3,000 acres. The summer camp programs for both programs, as well as venturing, high adventure, the Order of the Arrow, and the whole properties managed for those four camps, with a volunteer force of probably 35 or 40 people. So that was really exciting, and by getting reinvigorated with Rotary when I joined the Stoneham Club in the mid-90s, I realized that, you know, I wanted to start to really build a better collaboration between Scouting and Rotary, and we're in the process of doing that. We actually have an initiative this year to build that collaboration in many ways, one of which is to support the Scouts as they move towards their Trail of Eagle, and even outside of that in terms of regular Scouting and camp scholarships, et cetera, as well as asking Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts to be able to deliver a state of Scouting message to Rotary clubs so that we know what they're doing. In fact, our moral compass, I guess, is pointed the same direction. Our 4-way test and their Scout Oath and Law really are, you know, one and the same, just with different words. And I think they make great citizens, as do we, and I think we can do a lot together.
Great. Now, you're the district governor nominee for District 7930, and tell the listening audience what it is to be a district governor nominee, how you get there, and what are some of the things that you're tasked with on your as you rise up to eventually become the district governor.
So, yeah, it's an interesting process. It's a nomination, first of all, from your club, who thinks that you're worthy of moving on into a further position within the district, and then you go through an interview process with the nominating committee at the district level, and you're asked to present why you think you'd be a good district governor, and so you have a presentation mode, and they have a bunch of questions they ask about how you might do that and your ability to lead volunteers, etc. And then the decision is made, and the smoke rises, much like with the Pope, and the decision is made, and I was fortunate enough to be selected last December to serve in the 2017-2018 Rotary year. In the meantime, I've been very involved with a number of things with technology, communications, and membership and visioning, as well as a lot of other things. And as a district governor nominee, there are not a lot of specific roles you're charged with. That really comes in your district governor-elect year, which is the year between where I am now and when I become district governor. But you are expected to participate fully in all things in the district and make as many meetings as you can and start to learn and become engaged with the committees and with the membership. As a matter of fact, last night we had our first pre-PETS meeting where the incoming presidents in July 1 of 2016 had their first training with the district governor-elect, Cheryl Meehan, and that was basically the jumping point of starting their year and getting trained to be able to be as successful as they can be.
Great. Now, what are some of the challenges that you have trying to get students students and adults to become involved in Scouting, and the same with Interact and Rotary? How much of it's the same, and do you find that those issues are similar? I know that, you know, different generations have responded differently to the call to public service, and I'm wondering, you know, in the vacuum of social media and
so socialization. They're very similar, and yet they're quite distinctly different. So youth program is you know, a little bit of a mini version of adult program, but with different priorities and different competencies, as well as a number of other things. And a Rotary program versus a Scouting program is, again, a little bit different. Boy Scouting is, and Girl Scouting are both individual to their male and female counterparts. And Rotary is obviously co-educational as well as Interact is. So it's a little bit different dynamic there. Scouting is a lot more outdoors, and Interact and Rotary are more indoors until you get to a service project. But basically, I think the same model for attracting and engaging people is very similar. It's fun and fellowship and committing to doing something good in the world. And young people typically are very, very excited about social causes and being unencumbered with a lot of other requirements in life. They tend to do it very well. And what I like most about dealing with youth, whether it be Boy Scouts or Interactors, is that they usually have a different way of doing things. And sometimes it's a far better way than we might approach it, because they're not thinking about how it's been done for 50, 100 years. And it's really interesting that at this point in time, that most people in scouting at both at the RI level and within the zones and even now at the district, but we're recognizing that we can't continue to do things the same way as we've done for the last 100 years. We need to be a lot more progressive about what Rotary is and what it needs to be and what it can be. And so in the conversation with Interact, it's kind of the same thing. We just started Stone's first Interact club in probably 30 years. This past April, and we charted with 36 members, and I'm proud and privileged to be the current advisor of that, and we're very excited that shortly after midnight tonight, 24, 25 people are headed to the United Nations in New York City for Rotary UN Day, and that's an exciting experience, I think, for everybody, because unlike most other students, Interactors and Rotarians can actually sit in on live sessions of the UN, because we are officially have a seat at the UN. Being part charter member and part of one of the few non-GEOs that can participate. I think the only other one is the American Red Cross.
What are some of the initiatives, either at the district level or even among the clubs that are in the wings to happen this year?
Josh, hold on a second. Sorry, Josh.
Okay. We were asking, what are some of the initiatives that are happening at the club or district level that are in the going to be transpiring in the next few weeks or a few months that you might share with the audience?
Yeah, so, Dave Nancy, current district governor, was looking, as he is in the Marine, at supporting veterans. And that could be in hunger, homelessness, workforce development, any number of things to try to help our returning veterans who give so much of themselves when they come back to the U.S. Sometimes they're not treated or do not have access to the things they should have as true patriots of our country. And that's actually transpired into a more global conversation about homelessness and hunger for our communities. And even though sometimes we think that hunger and homelessness are not present in all of our communities, in fact they are, we just don't recognize them. So in April we had a symposium or a forum with about 45 or 50 service providers to deal with in that sphere of hunger and homelessness, and we asked them a simple question: what can we do to help? And their response was, first, educate your members, and then educate your communities, and once you've done that, you need to help dispel the myth of what hunger and homelessness actually looks like and how close it is to you and your friends in your community. And then to help with basically advocating politically to try to solve some of the problems. And I think we believe, and I think most people believe, that if the United States put their efforts behind hunger and homelessness, the problem could be solved pretty quickly. And I think that's something we have to try to do. And Dave started the process, and Cheryl and I have agreed to make it a three-year project. So we're in the process of developing a video that really does show the true face of homelessness and hunger in the greater Boston area and within our own communities, along with some marketing materials and some resources about the status of hunger and homelessness in each of our communities specifically. With that, the hope is that clubs will get qualified to receive district grants, and they will apply for them in some of the areas that represent providing a service that model. Not that they have to, this is an optional program, but the hope is that if they're looking to do food service of any kind or help with hunger and homeless in any way, that to either expand what they're doing now or to start doing something if they're not doing anything significant at this point, that they can help start a program in the town and get partially funded by the Rotary Foundation, which is just an amazing resource that Rotarians have to make projects come to reality.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold and sharing all the good work that you're doing through the Boy Scouts of America and Rotary International.
Well, thank you, Josh.
Take care and have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Welcome back now to Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Our next guest is Dick Moody from Danvers in Operation Support the Troops. Dick, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Josh.
Well, we ask our folks to tell us a little bit about themselves, and we'd ask you to do that, and how you got involved with the process providing support to the men and women deployed around the world in the United States military.
Okay, I'd be happy to. I'm a 23-year veteran of the United States Air Force, and served in Vietnam and served in Desert Storm. And during Iraqi freedom, my son and my daughter were over in Iraq. And my daughter called home one night, and since she was a combat medic, she asked if we could, my wife and I could, send some packages over there to help the recovering soldiers buy away their time after the pain of the surgery. And so we started that. That was in 2003. And being in Desert Storm, which was a 49-day period, I figured this isn't going to last too long. And 13 years later, we're still going strong. So that's how it started. And along the way, we have picked up hundreds of volunteers from pretty much all over the country. And we're still going very strong today.
Tell us about what it is you do. I know that I reached you through Lucia Ramiro, who is works out of the Veterans Office in Gloucester, and the Gloucester Rotary Club, for example, 5 years ago when I was president, we started giving money to support the shipping of gifts that went to the troops deployed from Cape Ann that are in the service. Yours isn't geographically limited, but tell us about what the care packages are, where you get the stuff, how that all comes together.
Okay, I'd be happy to. One of the things I'd like to mention that my association with Lucia goes back quite a ways. The Gloucester Veterans Office has been tremendous in assisting us in supporting the troops. And what a lot of people don't know is that the Cape Ann area of the country is the most populated with veterans of any place in the country. And because of that, mainly because of the old merchant marinas, and because of that, the help that we get out of the Cape Ann area is wonderful. We send weekly care packages. It actually works out to daily care packages totaling about 150 to 200 boxes every week, to all across the globe, but mainly it's the combat support, combat areas, and the combat support hospital. And these are our care packages that are loaded down with non-perishable food, with socks, with toiletries, with T-shirts, things that the soldiers can use. We don't ever mix the food with the toiletries because we don't want anything to pick up the smell of an Irish Spring, for example. But that's what we do, and we've sent close to 500,000 boxes over since we started.
That's great. And the items that people contribute, what does that include?
Mainly, we ask for two different types of items. First is the food items. And the food items are things that would be, as I mentioned earlier, non-perishable, nuts, pretzels, things like that they could snack on, and also things that you could pick up in the store, like the six packs of applesauce or fruits or things like that that don't need refrigeration. And that way they have something that they can open up and eat, when they get hungry. And I could talk a little bit about how they're getting fed over there now, and you'll see why those things are very much appreciated. Of course, they love the old standbys of beef jerky, things like that. We send potato chips and probably all the things that that Mama will say is not very good for you, but on the other hand, when you're on the battlefield, they need something to take their mind off what they're doing. And this time of year, the Halloween candy is very, very popular. We get bags and boxes of Halloween candy that the children haven't used, and we ship them over there, and they just love it. So that's the food part. The toiletries, we look for the individual sizes of shampoos, of toilet, of course, toilet paper, Kleenex, toothpaste, toothbrushes, things that they just can't walk into a CVS and pick up. This is how they get them.
Great. What now, you mentioned that you send to all around the world. Who does this? Who do you have a group? Do you meet? How does that work?
What we usually do is we try to schedule one public packing per month, and we usually hold it at the VFW Hall in downtown Danvers. The next packing event that we have is on the 21st of November at 10 a.m. And people come, and we get so much stuff during the week that we separate them into boxes, and then we bring them down to the public pack. And the public comes in. It's free. It's a chance to help your soldiers out. And we have a kind of a Congo line set up so that they can go ahead, and we give them empty boxes, and they fill them up, and then we address them and send them off that same day. During the monthly packaging events, we do it right out of my home. We have several volunteers that come by and basically help us pack it up as well.
Great. And if folks want to donate to your organization, how would they do that?
The first thing I would say is go to our website or Facebook. Our website is www.operationtroopsupport.org, O-R-G, not com. OperationTroopSupport.org, and you'll see the list of items that we typically send overseas. It tells where to drop them off, and if they have a particularly large amount of donations, if they call, we'll see if we can get over there and pick them up. So that's the best way to communicate with us. And also, if they would like to help us actually package up the gifts, things like that, then again, go on the website, there's an email address, send us an email and tell us, how you would like to help, and we'll put you to work.
I'm sure the packages that you put together and send off are delivered. What do you get in the way of responses from folks that are deployed in terms of expressing appreciation and tell us about
that? I wish that everybody had the opportunity to read the notes that come back to us. They're heartwarming. Right now, in many cases of Afghanistan, many places, they're down to one meal a day, and the rest of the day, they provide, the military provides the MREs, which is the meals ready to eat. They're like the old K rations or C rations you might have heard in the earlier wars. And these are very, very nutritious. And depending on what your taste buds allow, they may or may not be very, very good to eat. You know, some of them are kind of bland, and other times it's really not all that bad. But that gets old after a while, eating the same things every day. So the one meal that they do get is a hot meal. And when they get things from groups in the States that contain, you know, things that they don't ordinarily get, it's such a big thing to them that they will sit down and write. And some of the letters that we've gotten back are very, very heartwarming. And they basically tell us, you know, without you, I don't know what we would do. So it does us well, and I wish everybody could get that feedback.
Great. What are the other kinds of things? I know phone cards and other items are particularly helpful. Some clothing items.
Yeah, we do encourage people to give us phone cards. The only thing that we ask on the phone cards is that make sure that they are good from an overseas location. AT&T are usually pretty good. A lot of phone cards, they say that they're good for 120 minutes, say, and because it's overseas, they cut it down by like by half, so you don't get the full value of the card when you get it. So that would be the first question I would ask, or at least I would read. But I will tell you, they do appreciate those, and the guys that appreciate them the most are when they redeploy back to the States. They have a way to call home and say, "Hey, Mom, I'm back home," without having to either call collect or waste their money. So they're very valuable. And so in addition to the phone cards and the other things that I mentioned earlier, they're in desperate need of socks. They have no place to get socks over there. And because they're in a boot all the time, they're walking all the time, the socks go by pretty quickly. And they're asking us to send white socks whenever we can. And so that's something that's really precious to them.
And I see here, looking from a list, cards, decks of cards, paperback books, magazines, crossword puzzles, pens, pencils, notepads, all that stuff.
Right, and, you know, when they finally do have some time off, they need something to get their mind adjusted to something else. The word puzzle books, the Sudoku books, the crossword puzzles, any kind of little puzzle that... Rubik's Cubes, you know, things like that. It occupies their time. They love paperback books, as long as they're in pretty good shape. I would refrain from sending them puzzles to put together, like jigsaw puzzles, because some of them, we can't take the time to see that if all the pieces are there, and they don't have the time to really set them up. But things that they can do, like playing cards, those are a real big treat to them.
Right, and now, is there a big push coming up to get stuff ready so that they'll have something to open during the holidays in anticipation of the Christmas season?
Yes, this is our busiest time of the year. Although we send over care packages every day, the Christmas season demands that we put together Christmas gifts, and that's what we do. And it's not just one gift. We usually put in a gallon Ziploc bag several things that will fit in there, a pair of socks, a CD or a DVD, because most of the places have that capability. We'll put, notepads for the, especially for the girls. We have very pretty notepads. We give them writing utensils. But what we do, we give them basically like a Christmas stocking. We wrap it up in a Ziploc bag to make sure that any spillage doesn't ruin them. And then we invite the public to do a public wrapping event. And we bring the paper, the tape, the scissors, the tags, and the gifts. And the public comes in and actually wraps the gifts. And then we send them out. And that's what we'll be doing on November the 21st. We'll be sending out the gifts to Afghanistan, Iraq, Kuwait. And that's what we do. The next time we have a public wrapping event for Christmas will be tomorrow. And we're going down to the Chelsea Soldiers Home to have the soldiers down there the veterans down there wrap gifts for the troops, and they just love that.
Now you can't give names out, correct? Or
at any one time we have about 700 or 800 names of soldiers. We do not send just to any soldier. In the past, they would return the boxes if they couldn't find a soldier to give it to. So we actually get the names, and we get them either through the soldiers themselves, because every time we send a care package, we put an envelope with a pen and a form in there, and of course it's free coming back to the States. If you would like to receive gifts or packages, sign this, give us your address, and send it back. And also parents, grandparents, spouses, they come to us either by phone or by email and give us an address of a loved one that's over there. That's how we get our mailing list. And we send out probably around 700 to 800 soldiers or sailors, and we go to the aircraft carriers, we go to the air bases. And when they get the packages, when I send Christmas gifts out, they're getting a box of about 20 or 30 gifts, and they can share them with the people that haven't communicated with us directly.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold. And again, if folks want to help out Operation Troop Support, they can call Dick and Christine Moody at 978-774-5983 or log on to www.operationtroopsupport.org. Again, thank
That's
you
right.
for being part of our show.
Also, friend us on Facebook, and you'll get a lot more information with pictures of exactly what we do.
Great. Thank you very much, Dick.
Okay, Josh. Thanks for the opportunity to talk.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Welcome back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and our next guest is Kathy Boudreau, a local businesswoman. Kathy, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Josh. It's a pleasure.
Now, I know we usually ask folks who come on the show, tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, your career, etc. I know you're a member of the Gloucester Rotary Club. I know you graduated from Holy Cross and that you speak French and Spanish, so and that you're involved in a number of organizations. So with that, tell us about you and what you do.
Okay, so I'll fill in some of the gaps in the pieces that you just described. So I grew up in Rockport, attended Rockport Public Schools, where I was part of the National Honor Society and a varsity cheerleader, oldest of four children. My dad, Charlie Ahern, was a dentist locally in Gloucester. So went to Rockport Public Schools, then went to Holy Cross. After graduating from Holy Cross, I went into banking for a brief amount of time, and then I landed with Travelers Insurance Company, Josh, where I spent the next 23 years of my career in various insurance positions. I went from a claims manager, I did litigation, I was a litigation specialist, I managed a call center with 40 people. In fact, I started that up. And then my last position at Travelers was that of a personal lines marketing representative. So I worked with 150 local independent insurance agents throughout the North Shore and managed a book of $450 million. It was during my role as a marketing rep that I came to meet Christine Frary, who is one of the owners of Circle Insurance in Danvers. And Christine was looking for somebody to bring her agency to the next level with marketing and networking. I, at the time, was disheartened with corporate America, although Travelers was an excellent company for me to work for. Corporate and my personal philosophies just did not jive. So 3 years ago, actually it was 3 years ago last month, I joined Circle Insurance as their director of sales and marketing. And now, Josh, my role has really evolved into that of an insurance producer. So I sell both personal lines and business insurance policies. I live in Gloucester currently with my husband, Mark. We live over in Annisquam. And not only am I involved in the Gloucester Rotary, but I am very much involved in our local Business Networking International, or BNI, chapter, BNI Lighthouse. And I'm also a BNI director, so I oversee four chapters of BNI, one in Beverly, one in Salem, one in Lynn, and then my own local chapter. In addition, I am very much involved with the Peabody Area Chamber of Commerce. I developed a relationship with that chamber because of our location in Danvers. We wanted to grow our agency locally. So I joined the chamber 3 years ago. I currently sit as a board member, one of their board of directors, and I'm also on their executive board as the first vice president. And next year I will be the chairperson for the PP Area Chamber of Commerce. So all very exciting, keeps me very, very busy.
Well, I saw somewhere, I think it might have been Facebook or LinkedIn, that you're involved with the Young Entrepreneurs Academy and that you're a mentor to some of the youth in that program. Tell us about that and what your role is.
Okay, so this is something that I'm very proud of and very much excited to be part of. The YAY program is a national program that enables high school and middle school students to follow their dreams and start their own businesses. It is a 30-week program. It meets once weekly for 3 hours. And what we do as mentors and facilitators is we help these young students realize their dreams. So the course, the curriculum is finding that business that they want to start. And then once they find that business, we help them with a business plan. We help them with marketing ideas. We help them find a physical location to actually launch their business. We have them meet with mentors. And all during this 30-week program, the goal is to go before the investor panel at the end, and the investor panel will choose one of the businesses to invest in. And then following that, we will have a trade show. Our trade show will be at the North Shore Mall in late May of this year. This is the first time that this program has been launched in Massachusetts. So our little group, which is eight students, are the first eight students in the state to participate in this program. So it's super exciting, and I get to mentor or teach the program along with another Peabody Chamber colleague, Mike Murray from Peabody Wealth Advisors.
And you are involved also in Team Lungstrong, part of the PanMass Challenge. Tell us about that.
Okay, so 3 years ago, Josh, when I joined Circle Insurance, Christine Frary, my manager, as I previously mentioned, said that she had met an outstanding person and she was going to ride the PanMass Challenge. So I said immediately, because I'm always looking for something new and ways to challenge myself, I said, well, I'll do it. What I didn't know back then was how much and how meaningful this event would become to me. So Diane Legg created Team Lungstrong in 2011. She's a 10-year survivor of lung cancer. She was diagnosed when her youngest son was just an infant. She went to pick him up. She thought she pulled her back out. MRI scan showed that she had stage 4 lung cancer. She's lived with that, as I said, for the past 11 years. So this group of 150 riders has formed, and every year we get out the first weekend in August, and we ride 180 miles, also committing to $4,500 in fundraising minimums. So it's an amazing group, and all the proceeds go directly to lung cancer research.
Great. And so each person who rides is responsible for raising $4,500.
Yes. So, Josh, if you ride the two-day, it's $4,500. If you opt to do just one day, it's $3,300.
Okay. And is the team that you belong to has 150 people?
Yes.
So where do you go? You go from, does it change every year where you go to, or does it?
No. It's the same route every year. So you start out, the particular route that I choose to ride starts out in Wellesley on Saturday morning, and we ride to Bourne. We spend the night at the Mass Maritime dorms. On Saturday night, we get up at 4:30 in the morning on Sunday morning, and you ride from Bourne to Provincetown, where you end up. It is probably, it's the largest athletic fundraising event in the world, and it is, and I've been to many fundraising events, athletic and otherwise. It is certainly the most well-organized event out there. There is not a single detail that's not completely thought of, and everything runs seamlessly, all thanks to Billy Starr, who is the founder.
Great. And you're involved in the Gloucester Rotary Club as well. Tell us how you got into that and what you do there.
So I got into the Gloucester Rotary. It was almost a year ago. It'll be a year ago in December at the recommendation of a good friend of mine, Ruth Pino, who has been a past president of the Rotary and is deeply involved in the KPN community. I really wanted to be involved in something that gave back to the community. And looking around at the various organizations, I decided, Josh, that the Rotary, for both what they do locally, but also to their international influence with, ridding the world of polio, was a great way for me to be able to do that. Not only is it a great way for me to help give back to the community, but I've been able to meet some of the community's most influential professionals in the Rotary. When I was working for corporate America, I worked off of KPN, and so I really didn't get to have an opportunity during those 23 years to meet some of the local professionals and get a sense of what people are doing on the island. And through my participation in the Rotary and some of the other local networking organizations I belong to, I've really been able to establish myself, and I'm really enjoying doing that.
So are you a person who has done the plunge or is going to consider doing it going forward?
Well, so last year, as you know, the plunge was unfortunately had to be postponed several times.
Yes.
And the final plunge date, I was not able to attend, but I will be doing the plunge in 2016.
Oh, great. Good. I was in Chicago. I missed it as well, but that's great. Funny, the plunge started out in a very funny kind of way. Steve Cady had said to me the year I was the club president, hey, we've got something made just for you. And I knew I was getting conned into something. And he said, we want you to jump in the ocean in the middle of the winter for polio. And I said, well, I'm not going to jump in the ocean for $50 or something. You get the club to kick in $500 to $1,000 and I'll do it. And from that point, we said, well, why don't we offer to host it since we live on an island here, and Brad Pierce had a motel in the area, and Brad signed on, and then it took off from there. And the first year, I think we raised $26,000. There were about 35 of us that jumped in the water, and supposedly that was the warmest it's ever been, water and air. But every year we've doubled. Pretty much doubled the amount we've got. So last year, I think they made $115,000, and it was matched 2-1 by the Gates Foundation. So it builds every year. It ends up being a fellowship. It ends up being an education opportunity, and it ends up being a fundraiser to help the Rotary and their signature cause.
Yeah, it's a fantastic event, and as you said, it seems to grow momentum every single year, so that's just, it's amazing. Rotary does a lot of amazing things and gives back in incredible ways.
You mentioned that when we talk, just to go back a minute, you were talking about the Young Entrepreneurs Academy, and that mm-hmm. Your group is the first to undertake this in the state of Massachusetts. Where else is it thriving, and what does it take to get to expand that?
So it's really thriving throughout the country, Josh, but some of the students that have really launched very, very successful businesses from this program. I think in the past decade there have been three out of the state of Florida. New York has held one. And in order to launch this program, it's very, very simple. But a chamber has to have interest. They have to have financial support from local businesses, and they also have to have the support of local schools. So if, hypothetically, Ken and the KPN Chamber said, oh, you know, we think this is something fabulous that KPN should do, they just reach out to the YAY program. YAY is headquartered in Rochester, New York, and the program is extremely, extremely well run. They've got a very specific curriculum, and they're very supportive of anybody that is a facilitator, mentor. You need to have a program manager, and the program manager has to sign on for the full 30 weeks, and they are there to sort of facilitate the classes and make sure that everything runs smoothly. In addition to the program manager, generally speaking, the YAY program recommends that you have two instructors for every 10-week segment. They break down the program into three 10-week segments. So if local chambers have an interest in participating in YAY, I think that would be fabulous, and they can reach out to the YAY program directly by Googling them, or they can contact me, and I'm more than happy to provide them with the information.
And that could be, would it have to be limited to a chamber of commerce, or would the Lions or the Elks or the Rotary or the Kiwanis, any type of organization like that run, or is it specific to a chamber?
That's an excellent question, Josh, and I'm not 100% certain of the answer.
Okay.
So rather than answer that, I will say that I will reach out to them and find out for you, and I'll get back to you.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold and sharing all the good things that you're doing with your business and giving back to the community, and wish you well in your future endeavors.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Josh, and have a wonderful weekend.
Good. We'll see you at the next Rotary thing for... actually, our next Rotary event is the past President's Dinner and the support for the veterans. And our next guest is Jason Groh, who will be a speaker at that.
Excellent.
Great. Take care.
I will hope to see you there.
Thank you.
You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Hi, folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Welcome back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and our next guest is Jason Groh, who is a local photographer and who is putting on an exhibit that will start at City Hall in Gloucester on November 7th. Jason, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Josh, for having me.
Well, I know you've been involved in local elective office, and you're certainly someone who shows up as volunteering on a number of different things. You're working on a veterans project. Tell us about how you get involved with that, and tell us about the project.
Well, the project has been an effort, I think, my effort to honor the World War II veterans that are remaining in our community. I mean, Gloucester has got a huge history in military service, and it had a huge response in World War II, and nearly, 6,000 men and women from Gloucester alone went to serve over the course of the war. And that was about 20% of the population. And I just came to the realization this year, being the 70th anniversary of the end of the war, that a lot of these folks are passed. I mean, most of them have died, and there are very few remaining. I remember seeing an obituary of a man who died in February, and I thought to myself, wow, I wonder how many are left. And that really just was the beginning of it. I decided that I wanted to find as many of them as I could in Gloucester, and then I extended Rockport, Manchester, and Essex because I felt like that was more inclusive of the community. And I just wanted to find as many as I could to photograph them, to talk to them about how they are now and who they are now, and just recognize that there are a lot of, as I said, very ordinary people that did extraordinary things, and then they went on with their lives, and they built Gloucester, they built our community, and pretty soon, they're going to be mostly memory. And I just wanted to do my part while they were here to say thank you, to honor them, and to show them off to the community. So that's sort of the genesis and the reason behind the show.
And so your exhibit starts when and goes to when, and tell us about that.
We're having a public opening reception tomorrow starting at 1 o'clock. And that will be from 1 to 4 at Kairos Auditorium in City Hall. It will be up for as long as they want me to have them up there, frankly. I think probably into December, so I would say 4 to 6 weeks. And it's free. It's open. It's only open during business hours, but that's pretty much all day, every day. And, I hope people come down and take a look. We are setting up a memory wall because a lot, again, most of the veterans who served have passed. But I'm inviting people to bring copies of photographs of their fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers, copies, not originals, please, to put up on a memory wall so that, we can have a record and a presence at the show. All the pictures that I took are obviously people who are still alive, but we want to make sure that we don't overlook all the people that have already gone. So people are welcome to bring those anytime over the next month and post them. The wall will be up and obvious, and hopefully people will respond with that. Again, don't bring originals, please. We can't get it back to you.
My father is passed, but my father was in World War II. But to give you some interesting perspective, my grandfather on my mother's side fought in the Spanish-American War.
it is amazing the long history that people have. I mean, going back. Gloucester's been around for a long time, and there have been Gloucester Cape Ann people in every conflict and that this city is, this country has experienced. So it's got a long sense of history and a long sense of service, and I think that was what was so impressive about the people that are still remaining. And frankly, I thought there'd only be a couple of dozen. It turned out that there are actually a lot more than I thought. So the show grew. Originally, I was hoping to get, like I said, a couple of dozen people, and we ended up photographing 59 to date.
That's
great. That was a lot more than we thought, which is great.
Great. And all branches of service.
All branches of service, Coast Guard, Seabees, Navy, Marines, the nascent U.S. Air Corps, the Waves and the WACs. One of the things that I'd hoped to do better at was to find more women who'd served. Because I frankly think that their service was slightly underappreciated and underrecognized over the history. But there have been some women who did some pretty remarkable things, and I wanted to make sure that we included as many of them as possible. We had women who served as ambulance drivers, who were nurses, there was one woman who I unfortunately missed, who just passed away right before the project, who was a pilot. She ferried airplanes all over the country, and it was pretty amazing. So I'd love to, you know, one of the things that people keep asking is, am I going to keep doing the project? And I think the answer is yes. So, we won't necessarily have another show. I'm going to keep an online presence once the show's over and have some time to put it together. But I'd like to keep photographing people. So if there are veterans out there, men and women alike, who family know about that would like to be photographed, the one thing I'm doing is that everybody I'm photographing, I will be giving a framed print to them or their family. So that's my gift to them.
That's great. And what's next for you after the veterans? I mean, you're going to keep that going, but what do you? Is there something on the drawing board or something you're thinking about?
Nothing at the moment. This project is started in March and has pretty much consumed the last few months of my existence. I don't have anything at the moment, but you know, I'm always looking and always searching. You know, the thing about this project that's different for me is that it's been really rooted in my community. So, frankly, I'm a little bit nervous about tomorrow because often when I photograph people, you know, I never see them when they see their photograph. So love it or hate it, I don't know any different. But now people are going to be coming tomorrow and seeing the pictures themselves. So I'm feeling a little bit raw at the moment about things.
Well, I'm sure it'll all go over very well for you.
I plan on, you know, I'm always looking for projects. There's always things to do. I'll wrap this one up, figure out what I'm going to do next, and hopefully we can. Yeah, I love the idea of putting on the show in City Hall, by the way, because it's a great venue, and it's someplace I think that I wish that the city would utilize more often.
Oh, it's a beautiful hall. Absolutely beautiful hall. And there was a period where underneath the balconies, they had petitioned that all it off, and those were all offices back when I was in high school. And I think when Leo Alper became mayor, the first mayor under this form of government, he took all that out, and gradually they cleaned out City Hall, and they found all the pictures of the old mayors, and yep. They started that tradition of hanging those portraits up there. And
I've got a couple of those myself.
What's that?
Yeah, I've got a couple of those myself.
Those portraits?
Yeah, I've got Rafter and Toby and Bell were all photographed by me.
Oh, no kidding! That's great. Yeah. That's great. Well, maybe that's your next project. Maybe you should do the city leaders.
Yeah, I'll think about that.
Past and present.
There you go.
You can say you go. All of these people for the last 60 years did nothing with I-4C. No, I'm sorry.
Yes. let's stay out of that for
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Let's stick to the veterans for the
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I appreciate the work that you're doing, and this sounds like a really exciting project. I can't wait to see it. I know that you're going to be a guest speaker at Rotary on Tuesday night. We have our joint past president's dinner with the veteran celebration, so I'm looking forward to that. And I want to wish you very well with
this. Thank you very much, Josh. And I really hope people come out. All the veterans have been invited, so I'm hoping that as many of them as can come, and the families. So I really would love to have a great reception for them, especially.
And is there a website that they can go to now to learn about this, or?
It's not up yet. It will be at jasongrove.com, which is my website.
Okay.
I will have a link for it. It's just that this has been taking all of my time, so
all right.
I haven't been able to do the online stuff as quickly as I'd hoped to. But eventually my website is jasongrow.com, just my name.com, and I will have a link to that and to the project.
Great. Thanks. Thank you for sharing your exhibit with us, and good luck.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Jason. Bye now.
Take care.
All right, that takes care of this edition of Turning Now with Josh Arnold. And, you know, Josh, when I moved down south when I was a little kid, kids down there, when they first met me, asked me the question about veterans, about war veterans. And the question was, well, who Joe Granddaddy, what side did Joe Granddaddy fight on in the big war?
Yeah.
And I said, well, my grandfather was from Nova Scotia. Maybe he was in World War II. I don't even know. Yeah. Well, no, in the big war. And I said, well, what are you talking about? They're talking about the Civil War, of course. Yeah. You know, my grandfather, they did not do that.
Yeah.
Now, my dad, on the other hand, was an Iwo Jima survivor. He did 3 tours of duty in Vietnam after that, Silver Star and 2 Bronze Stars. So, very distinguished career in the military, my father. But no pictures of him over there. Anyway, what do we got lined up for the future?
Well, we're going to have a bunch of different folks. We'll have certainly some people from the State House checking in. I will not be hosting next Friday, but I'll be here on the 20th and following that. But we will have a show next week, we'll hope to have a regular installment with the arts.
We have to get Julie LaFontaine on.
Yes.
It's that time of year. Big fundraisers going on for the Open Door in Gloucester and others along the North Shore. I think we should dedicate ourselves to at least pursuing some of that. What do you think?
No, I've spoken with Julie, and she wants to be on the show, and it's just a question of coordinating that.
Yeah.
So maybe she could be on next week if her time cycle works.
And maybe in outlying communities as well. I think we should promote that because they do such an unbelievable, and it's incredible.
Sue Gabriel, Operation Bootstrap, Margot Casey, United Way. I've spoken to all of them. It's just a question of slotting them in. So.
Excellent.
Great.
All right. That's Josh Arnold. I'm Rick Barr. Producer and engineer, as always, is Bill Proposky. Don't forget football, a big one tonight on MSONewsSports.com, on Channel A, and live streaming video. It's Everett at Peabody. Game time, 7 p.m. Pre-game show around 6:30 with Bill Newell. I'll be there. We'll also have reports out of Marblehead on the Gloucester Marblehead game. Have a great weekend.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.